What's going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It is Monday night. It's February 3rd, 2025, first February episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. It was Groundhog's Day yesterday, and that little son of a gun saw his shadow, so we get six more weeks of winter, even though it feels really nice outside today. Mid-50s, can't complain for that. A rare three-man show tonight, not just Tan and the J-Man. Evan Webb, a.k.a. Webby, great friend of the show, is in the house. Webby, what's going on? Thanks for joining us this evening.
Happy to be here, and J-Man for hopping on this week's episode of the Boiler Breakdown. So,
yeah, I need to be on the Boiler Breakdown. I'm waiting for my invite.
Well, maybe when the time comes around that Purdue plays Illinois.
Yeah. Last week of the year, I think, right? Last game of the season.
Last game, March 7th, I think. Yeah. So, but Webby, I know you're not a stranger on the show, but for anybody that, for whatever reason, might be watching or listening to their first episode of the Tan and J-Man Show, why don't you explain your sports fandom a little bit to everybody?
Yeah. I mean, it pretty much starts and ends with the Purdue Boilermakers, hence Tan and I hosting the Boiler Breakdown together along with our other good friend, Dan Tyler. Attended Purdue, graduated, so that's kind of where everything starts and ends. But I am outside of college. I'm unfortunately a Bears fan, but who knows what this year. I am a White Sox fan, definitely, unfortunately, along with the Bulls and Blackhawks.
Chicago
everything. And if we want to get into the Premier League and La Liga, we can do that too, but I won't bore you guys with that.
I was gonna say you could probably say quite a few teams, and J-Man and I would just very sure, like,
yeah. You could give us like, hey, name as many Premier League teams, and I'd struggle coming up with one.
Yeah,
that I know for sure is in the Premier League. I have no clue.
I don't think I could do it.
Yeah.
good stuff. But we're gonna have some fun. We got a lot to talk about tonight. Got, I think, what we could all call the biggest trade in NBA history to discuss, one of the big trade in sports history to discuss tonight. Got Big Ten hoops. We got Super Bowl 59 coming up on Sunday.
That's right. Most forgettable Super Bowl ever.
Yeah. Yeah. This past week, if you don't count the Pro Bowl, but which, let's be honest, we're not counting the Pro Bowl because it's a joke.
Yeah.
That was the first weekend there was no NFL since August.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sad times.
February
is kind of rough because, you know, obviously football's ending. College football's been done for a little bit. NFL is done now. The new league year doesn't start till middle of March. You hit the dog days of the Big Ten schedule where it just feels like a grind because everyone's banged up. The stakes are high.
Everybody part of the second time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, playing everybody. Well, now you don't play as many teams two times, I guess.
That's true.
But, yeah, you play a team a second time. It just you have teams sweating it out. And now, like you mentioned in our group chat, the fact that three teams don't make the Big Ten tournaments made those bad teams' games more interesting just to try to get into the Big Ten tourney. February is not my favorite month.
No, it's a busy month. I think for myself and Webby.
I think today's the first day without a Big Ten basketball game in like multiple weeks. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they've been doing a good job of having them all 7 days. That's the good thing with the new TV contracts and adding the four teams is you're able to spread it out. Where I think I was reading the SEC only has games on. Saturdays. So they do a good job of having games on every night, but I was a little disappointed when I saw that there was not a game on tonight.
Yep. It's that time of year.
Yeah.
It's that time of year we can really start, you know, factoring it down to how many teams are really still in contention. For conference titles. So,
yeah.
Yep.
I do have birdie bogey. I kind of forgot about it for the second straight week. This is a Super Bowl related question. What two cities have hosted the most Super Bowls? They are tied with 11 Super Bowls each hosted.
That's a good question.
Two cities tied with the most Super Bowl hosts. Who are they? Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Give me the read, Tanner.
Arlington Public House has upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere. I can't read. Located on 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. They had a special for all steak lovers over the weekend. They had a 16-ounce T-bone steak marsala. And it looks pretty good there in the picture. It was served with creamy mashed potatoes and perfectly roasted broccolini. So there you go.
Don't think I've ever had broccolini.
I know I haven't.
It's green, so that makes sense. What's the difference between broccolini and broccoli?
Well, by looking at the picture, it looks like this is more stringy.
Stringy broccoli. I wonder if it's the same. It's just different shape.
I am not a broccoli expert.
I don't think any of us are on this show tonight. Help us out, the people of Tane and Jay Man Show Nation. I've seen it a lot with like Italian dishes, like on Italian menus. But I can honestly say
I've got the definition. I've
never tried it.
It is also known as baby broccoli or tender stem broccoli. Is a hybrid vegetable that's a cross between broccoli and Chinese broccoli. I just have more questions.
Yeah, that doesn't clear anything up for me.
So there's an American broccoli, a Chinese broccoli. Do we have a French broccoli? I mean, what are we doing here?
Where does it end, people?
Yeah, we can go down a broccoli rabbit hole, but we'll save that excitement for everybody else. But nonetheless, whether you're a steak lover, a pasta lover, seafood lover, Arlington Public House has a little bit of everything for everybody. So go check them out, 703 Main Street, Rochester, Indiana, open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights right now for their winter hours. All right. Well, we've been coming up the last few weeks with our 25 bowl predictions. For 2025, and tonight we're on our final set of five. And I text Webby earlier. I'm like, hey, you might want to brainstorm some of these because we're going to ask you.
Which set me into a panic.
Did not mean to do that. I could have just sprung it on you right now.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd be nice and give you a couple hours heads up.
The funny thing is I panic every single week when I'm doing this because I have a hard enough time coming up, and I've had to come up with 25 of them.
It was tough. Tonight for sure. Webby, you're a guest, so why don't you start with your first one?
All right. I tried to go like stupidly bold because some of these are downright dumb. But hey, that's what we're here to do. My first one, which may probably be my least bold one out of all five of these, is the NFL will win the WNBA title.
That is bold. I like it though.
I saw they signed a veteran, a six-year veteran.
They signed a veteran. Obviously, a year or two of Caitlin Clark, Stephanie White, Purdue alum and All-American, is back at the helm. So, big things for the Indiana Fever this year, hopefully.
One of my bold predictions was almost that Caitlin would win MVP in just her second year, but I neglected to put it.
I almost included like she was going to win, like she was going to lead the league in scoring, assists, 3-point percentages, like a bunch of other stuff. I was going to get the title.
J-Man, you want to go with your first one tonight?
This might be the boldest of my 25 so far. Tua Tagovailoa plays all 17.
It's like my Mike Trout one last week.
Yeah.
All right. If he does that, I think Dolphins are going to be pretty good.
They better.
My first one tonight, I don't feel very confident about this, but I guess that's why it's bold. Nikola Jokic will win his fourth MVP in the last 5 years.
That's very bold.
He's number two right now in the betting odds behind SGA.
I was going to say, I think SGA will probably get
the SGA. Yeah.
As long as he doesn't get hurt or anything, it's probably his. So, but Webby, what you got for number two?
You're like this one. Barry Odom is going to just win over the hearts of every Purdue fan when he goes into Notre Dame on September 20th and beats the Irish.
Sign me up a million times. Give me something to sign right now. If Purdue went 1-11, that was their one. Okay. All right. I'll be good with that. I got a Purdue football one coming up in a little bit.
So. All of mine are terrible this week. Tyreek Hill is traded post June 1st. His cap hit goes lower on June 1st. And he did say today that he's committed and he just wants the Dolphins to get better, but quits on his team, fourth quarter, final game of the year. I say ship him out. I'm done with him.
If that happens, we both get one right, because that was my seventh one this year, was that he'd be traded before the start of season. So
good job, Josh, on remembering that and having a repeat. Sorry, people.
Well, for some reason, I can't remember if you have something similar to this next one of mine or not. I was too lazy to go back and look. But Jeremiah Smith will win the Heisman Trophy.
I do not.
Okay. I thought you had something Heisman related. So, it's a pretty bold sophomore wide receiver, but he's a stud.
Yeah.
He's a stud.
All right. What I've got is within the first 8 picks of the draft, 4 are taken from the Big Ten. Mm. I think you can pencil in 3 pretty confidently. Between Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper, I think Yaka Jonas is definitely a top 10, top 8 pick. But I had to go bold. It's like, who'd be that fourth one? Like, maybe talk someone into a Derek Queen. He's the only one I can really think of. That was actually like,
yeah. Yeah. I was thinking Derek Queen would be the fourth.
Yeah. I felt who else was a little too safe. I was like, yeah, no idea.
Anthony Leal. all right, Jamie, hit us with your next one.
The New York Yankees will miss the playoffs.
If that happens, is Boone fired?
Definitely. Yeah, you would think. Yeah.
I actually left that off this year. I did like 2 or 3 straight years that it'd be his last year.
They lost Juan Soto. They picked up Paul Goldschmidt, Cody Bellinger as well. The pitching staff's really good. I'm talking myself into them winning 97 games now in my head after I'm doing this. But I gotta go bold. Gotta go bold.
I think that means you have both New York teams missing the playoffs.
I do. The Mets miss.
Yeah. All right. My next one. I said I had a Purdue football one coming up. Here it is. Purdue football will regain the old Oaken bucket.
Oh, that is bold.
I'm not saying they're going to make a bowl. I'm not saying that, but.
I almost put the bucket game was going to be meaningful for both teams, like in the fact that like one team was fighting for a bowl and the other one was trying to obviously like make it, you know, step into the next direction, but I didn't put it.
Yeah, I'd sign up for that too.
Yeah,
but they go 2-10 and beat Notre Dame in Indiana.
Oh, sign me up. I'll sign right now. Lose to Southern Illinois and Ball State, but trade it for those two. Give it to me. After the embarrassment of those two final scores this year?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. My fourth one. This one is just kind of off the wall. I don't know why I thought of it, but here we go. The Final Four will not have a single team with the color blue as one of their main colors.
So no Duke.
If you look at no UConn, no Kansas, they're kind of – I looked at the top 10, which like you look at the top 10 teams that include would be like – Alabama make it, Tennessee, gross, could make it. Like St. John's is like in the top 12, I think. Obviously Purdue's in there. I was like looking at like if you look at the last multiple champions, I think outside of Iowa State, yeah, Baylor, most champions have had blue in their. This was taken from a trivia question I remember doing in college at a trivia show in like 2013.
I like it.
That's a good one. Blue. Yeah.
There will be an NFL team go worst to first this year. I don't know if that's overly bold because the San Francisco 49ers qualify. And that would probably be the team I would say. I was looking at the teams yesterday. Browns aren't doing it. Raiders aren't doing it. Yeah, you hope not. I don't even remember who that. Giants aren't doing it. Trying to think of all the divisions here.
Titans.
Saints aren't doing it. Panthers, whoever finished. Titans aren't doing it. Patriots maybe with Vrabel, but probably not.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty big step pretty fast. It'd be a
massive step up, but Niners are probably my only bet there.
Yeah, that's a good one. My next one, players from the PGA Tour will win all 4 majors.
Huh.
So that's probably wrong. I wanted to put a live guy that I couldn't think who. So I've already been on record saying Hovland's going to win the Masters. I said Rory's going to win one of the majors, just not the Masters. So I'm like, that leaves 2 majors left. I'll just say the PGA Tour guys will win them. So We'll see.
It's I have a hard time keeping who's in what.
Yeah, it gets more difficult every year. And like I said, one of my other bold ones, my fifth one, was they will come to some kind of agreement or partnership by the end of the year. I think we're getting really close. It's just getting those final details figured out.
All right, final one, and probably the one it's the most bold one, the one I'm the most hopeful for. And the fact that the heavens open up and old man Jerry Reinsdorf puts the White Sox and Bulls up for sale.
You'll have a lot of listeners liking that one. Yeah. Hoping it comes true.
Yeah.
It's needed to happen decade ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
My final one here, mercifully, this thing is over. me, the J-Man, will finally break through and win our Fantasy Football League championship game this season. I've come close the past couple years. I don't know if Tanner's putting his headphones on now.
I could hear you. I could hear you the whole time.
All right. Yep. I've won the regular season two of the last 3 years, and then I lost the title game this year.
You're the opposite of the Chiefs.
On the door.
I'm the opposite of the Chiefs. Yeah. I'm the Buffalo Bills. That's who I am. I'm the Buffalo Bills.
Baltimore Ravens, Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. The problem with our fantasy leagues, it's not a keeper league, so you got to start all over the next year, which makes it even more bold. I'll probably go 2-14 this year.
Have either of you guys ever been in a keeper league?
I have not.
Nope.
I don't think I'll ever do one again. I was in one for like 3 or 8 years, and I did not enjoy it.
I know some people that love it, but it just – and like there's like the money thing, like you got to buy players too.
Cap, you have to keep. Yep. It was just too much to think. Like
you just. Yeah, you and I co-owned a keeper baseball league, and I hated it.
Brutal.
That's brutal. That was brutal.
I can't do fantasy baseball. It's too much changing your lineup.
Yeah.
I reached June, and I was like, I'm out.
I thought about this the other day. I've tried like fantasy everything over the years. I've done golf. I've done NASCAR. I did hockey. Hockey was the worst because I didn't know like 8 players. The NASCAR and golf ones were tiered, like a racer, a player, B, C, D. You can only pick so many in each category so many times throughout the year. So there was a lot of strategy involved in that one and a lot of luck. So. My last one, everybody who's been a longtime listener to the show or viewer knew this was coming. The NBA will announce the return of the Seattle Supersonics.
There it is.
Yes. Yes. Come on. Announce it. Them in Vegas, and you move the Grizzlies to the East. There you go.
There you go.
There you go. And I will become a Sonics fan.
Fanatic.
Pay attention to the NBA, which.
Season tickets. Here.
Don't know about that. Probably wouldn't even. I not even probably won't do the NBA season pass because it's expensive. But if they're on NBA TV, I'll watch.
they might be on the first few games just because it's cool to have them back.
Yeah, and then they're winning 17 games. And
I was gonna say they'll go 7-75. You'll never see them on TV again.
Yep. Well, and I don't think the NBA would do what I'm speculating they did for the Lakers and help them getting one of the NBA's best players.
Yeah. Collusion.
If you have been under a rock over the weekend, a just stunning trade goes down late hours Saturday, early hours Sunday. I don't remember exactly what time it became official. When Evan shared in our group chat, I thought it was fake at first. That Dallas Mavericks traded their 25-year-old superstar Luka Doncic and some other players to the Lakers for 31-year-old can't stay healthy Anthony Davis and a first-round pick and I believe another player. So yeah, it was just my biggest takeaway is. So you're telling me if the Mavericks really wanted to move Luka this bad, they didn't call any other team. They didn't call the Celtics, the one of the best teams in the league year in, year out, to see what they would offer. They didn't call the Bucks to see if Giannis was available. They just called the Lakers and wanted Anthony Davis out of everybody else in the league. Something feels fishy to me.
Yeah, you know, if David Stern was still, you know, alive, and
so, yeah, yeah,
he would have vetoed that thing immediately.
It's all the Lakers.
It was to the point where, like, people were saying, like, Shams had to come out and say he wasn't hacked because that's how unbelievable it was. 25-year-old superstar just led him to the finals just 8 months ago.
Yeah.
Still putting up massive numbers. He's been hurt a little bit this year. They say he has conditioning problems. Who cares if he's leading you to the finals and putting up massive numbers?
Yeah. So he's a top five player in the league easily.
Easily. And the fact that they only were willing to negotiate with the Lakers was a confusing thing. Because for one, you're trading him in the same conference. You're going to have to go up against him now.
If you want
any shot at winning a title or even getting there. It was the, I mean, I don't care about the NBA at all. I watched 5 minutes of the NBA Friday night, and it was the most boring pile of garbage I've ever watched. That might have been the most shocking trade I've ever seen in sports history. That I, like, you weren't even hearing Luka could be possibly available. At least I didn't.
No, there was no word.
Yeah. It was shocking because now he's not up for the Supermax contract, which I think it's 5 years, $340 million now, which is absurd. And maybe they just didn't want to pay him or have the money to pay him. I don't know. It was almost felt like a salary dump because Anthony Davis, you get Anthony Davis again, can't stay healthy. Isn't that good anymore either. And then a first round picks, if you're not picking in the top 10, are essentially useless at this point.
And that's it. I mean, my gosh, like, I think the Browns, if they end up trading Myles Garrett, which he came out today and wants traded, I think they at least get two first round picks for him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it just the hole they got doesn't make sense. The Mavericks, I don't understand what they're doing ever since Mark Cuban got out of the fold. They just don't seem like the same franchise at all. And, you know, now Luka's going to play with LeBron, which LeBron's been on record wanting to play with Luka over the years. They're going to sell a crap ton of 77 jerseys. I bet it's the number one selling NBA jersey maybe already or by, like, the end of the week. The Lakers are going to be pretty good.
His first game is probably the most like attended Laker game since LeBron broke the record. Like,
no doubt. And you guys think over the years and the NBA history, look at all the guys the Lakers have got through trades or got through free agency. Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, of course, in the draft Magic, so I'm not counting him. Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant was traded in the draft. LeBron, of course, even Paul Gasol, Gary Payton, Karl Malone, even though they were like 800 years old at that time. So many guys over the years. It's like, it just and you know, the NBA wants the Lakers to be good. They get better ratings when the Lakers are good, kind of like the Knicks. It's very head scratching all together. I don't like it.
Yeah, I saw Brian Windhorst today said that this is no longer LeBron's team. They're going to do everything around Luka at this point, which makes me wonder what LeBron is thinking about that. I mean, LeBron's 40 years old, but that dude's got an ego the size of Mars. So it'll be interesting to see if they can coexist because they're similar players, too. They want the ball in their hands at all time. Great passer. It'll be fascinating.
Thad Mooney says here on Facebook, 5 years, $375 million, what Luka's missing out on.
Yeah. Luka wasn't complaining. He didn't force a trade, anything.
His dad's not happy. His dad said he didn't deserve any of this. It's going to be fast. I know my dad's upset. Luka's my dad's favorite NBA player. And now he said, my favorite player is going to my least favorite NBA team. And he said, now I actually have to like the Lakers. I know he's not part of the franchise anymore, like as an active player or have an active role, but I got to think Dirk Nowitzki's not happy about it.
Probably not. Yeah.
I mean, the Maverick fans are upset. Patrick Mahomes, which I don't care about him, but he was saying he felt sick to his stomach. Good. Maybe that'll take his mind off the Super Bowl.
Why is he worrying about that a week before the Super Bowl? He's won so many of them. He probably doesn't even think about the game until Saturday before or something.
Probably not. But no, it was definitely a stunner. I mean, what are some other big trades you guys can think of in our lifetime that took you by surprise?
Well, the Deshaun Watson one a few years ago took me by surprise that anyone would want that scumbag, and it's worked out real well for the Browns too. which is funny that it's been so bad. Baseball wise, I can't really think of anything off the top of my head that was shocking.
I remember being obviously pretty intense. You were there. I was bummed when Kyle Gordon got traded to the Broncos for Jay Cutler. And that was just not fun just for me from a Purdue standpoint.
Happiest trade of my life, looking back on it. but no, at the time, I was not happy. And speaking of the Broncos, they've had a few historic. I mean, the John Elway trade with the Colts. One that didn't get talked about enough, Clinton Portis for Champ Bailey, just because both those guys were in their prime at the time of their careers or getting into their prime of their careers. You just don't see that very often in the NFL. No. Trading two Pro Bowlers at the time worked out better for the Broncos than it did for the then Redskins. I mean, we've seen coaches involved in trades, but yeah, this one might be the biggest one I can remember.
Mm-hmm. I don't even remember a baseball trade that was so out of this world shocking. It'd be like trading like a Juan Soto. I mean, I guess he was traded. He's been traded twice now.
Yeah. Well, like NFL equivalent to this, and my dad brought this up, it'd be like trading Lamar Jackson for Matthew Stafford right now in that point of their careers.
That's a very good that's a good comparison.
Just wild. And of course the odds for the Lakers and the Mavs as Western Conference champions and finals, making the finals and winning the finals, their odds pretty much flip flopped after this trade went through. Mm-hmm. So
Dallas was on the outside. Well, 9 seeds get in, right, in the play-in game.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So they're 26-24. Lakers were nine games over 500 out of the 5 seed right now. So I would say this trade probably vaults the Lakers up to maybe the second best team in the West now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't realize Memphis was having as good of a year as they are, or Houston.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how he and LeBron can coexist and play mm-hmm. together. Just as it always is when LeBron gets another superstar by his side. But yeah, it is. It just something smells fishy to me about mm-hmm. this whole thing. That's why I can't get behind the NBA. It's such a superstar driven league.
It's not going to help at all. The ratings are already bad. I don't think this is going to help things out.
Mitch Milton on Facebook, is LeBron upset that Luka's going to take Bronny's spot? yeah, it would have been fascinating to see if Bronny could even been part of the trade somehow.
Or LeBron wouldn't let that.
Yeah,
his daddy would not let that happen.
Not happen. Where's the younger brother? He's getting some good offers, isn't he?
He's committed to Arizona.
Oh, he's committed to Arizona.
Okay. Averaging 6 points a game in high school, so he's a Nepo baby for sure.
Jeffrey Jordan.
Yes. The same, I would say.
At least Marcus was okay.
He was pretty good. I think he just played like his freshman year at Central Florida and then was never heard of again until he started dating Scottie Pippen's ex.
Yeah, he was on, I don't know if you guys watch this show. It's currently airing on Peacock. It's called Traitors. Mm-mm. He was on the season last year and he was like first person voted off, maybe second person voted off. Yeah.
Marcus Jordan or Scottie?
Marcus Jordan. And his girlfriend or Scottie's ex-wife was on there too. So neither of them lasted very long. So.
Old Jeffrey. Was thinking about Jeff. In fact, I saw some highlights of Jeff the other day. Illinois came into the year, I think, ranked 13th or something like that. And then they go out to Vegas for a holiday tourney, and Jeffrey Jordan was playing in the final minutes. And they lost to Utah and Bradley. It was a Bruce Weber classic there. He had Jeffrey Jordan in over Dimitri McCamey because Jordan could play some defense. They scored 54 points that game. I don't think defense was their issue there, Bruce.
You missed those days. I can tell.
Oh, yeah. I really miss those days. The 38-33 losses to Penn State. Classic.
Oh, isn't it funny how sports always makes us remember the bad days instantly over, or the bad games instantly over the good days or good games?
I don't think any of us are ever happy. We're just mad half
the time. No, we're just some of us are less miserable than others at times.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. I'm only happy when I'm miserable.
Like I know you texted the group chat the other day, J-Man, saying you're ready for baseball season. I'm like, then a month into baseball season, he'll be complaining about that.
I'm going to be mad. Yeah. It sounds like a good idea now when we're in the throes of Big Ten season, but then the Reds come to town and Cubs lose 2-3 and I'm ready to jump off a balcony.
Always the Reds.
Always the Reds, yeah. I don't even mind losing to the Cardinals. It's just the Reds that just irks me.
Webby, what are your thoughts on the NBA? You're a basketball junkie more, I would say even more so than Josh and I. What are your thoughts on the NBA product?
It's not great. I try to watch it. I try to like it. I really do. I try to go to living in Indianapolis. I try to go to a game or two a year. Usually it's involved in the other team, a guy who played for Purdue, is why I try to go, or if the Bulls, when the Bulls come to town, I try and go. But it's just, I mean, I get like watching superstars is really cool. Like being able to, I haven't been able to see LeBron play, or I haven't really seen a ton of like the mega superstars. So that would be cool to see, but like just being at the game, it's like the fact you can just like carry on a conversation while you're there is just always the crap out of me. I they're so talented, and I think there was a tweet that came out a while ago. Like I think everybody's too talented, and they figured out the game too well to where they know like, hey, like it's either a dunk or a three, and nothing in between, and that's just what's made the game just unwatchable because. It's just, that's all it is. Like I said, I turned on a Grizzlies game the other day to see if Zach Edey was playing. He was out at the time, but it was like within 30 seconds, I saw four or five threes jacked up. And I was like, okay. Like, and they're all on the same possession, like not even like trying to move the ball. It was, I'm sure if I actually tried a game and actually like, I'd appreciate it more, but it's just the trade deadline in the offseason is more entertaining than the regular season. I remember, like, we used to always get together and watch like the finals when we were in high school, and I can't remember the last time I watched like a full finals game. It's just doesn't interest me. I just don't enjoy it as much as we used to.
Yeah, I watched about 5 minutes of the Suns Warriors on Friday night, and it was jack up a three, jack up a three, jack up a three, wind to the ref, jack up a three. There was no – I mean, the ball movement was pretty good, but it just ended with three. I mean, a three or a dunk, as you said. There was a fast break dunk. Cool. The atmosphere stinks. I went to a Bulls game last year, and I about fell asleep halfway through because it was just so boring. And I went to the Illinois game yesterday, and the atmosphere is just – a complete 180 from NBA games. You're into it and the crowd's loud and you're on the edge of your seat where, as you said, the NBA games, you can just have a conversation with the person next to you, like about anything. Cause the game's just kind of in the background almost.
And I know they tried different things, you know, have this in season tournament, but I don't think anybody really cares about that. I've been a proponent for years of not really starting the games until late November, or early December. You know, the season they had that strike and then they picked up the start of season around Christmas time. That was one of their best seasons they've ever had.
I think that was the last season I actually enjoyed because, for one, Derrick Rose was in, you know, his prime and playing very well. But, yeah, 66 games I think is a perfect number because I think you'll see less guys with the, you know, sitting out.
Joel Embiid.
The Joel Embiids of the world. And I saw this week Adam Silver said that he's entertaining proposing 10-minute quarters, which I think would hurt the NBA because, for one, you'll have less people, less players get actual, you know, playing time because you'll have your stars out there more, which maybe will help ratings. But you'll significantly shorten guys' NBA's careers. It might make college basketball better, so maybe I should be in favor of it because I think guys might stick around college more. I think they have to try something because it's just a stale product. And the problem is your biggest superstar is still LeBron James, like it was back in 2005, and we're 20 years later, and it's still LeBron. You have all these old guys, and no one cares about the younger generation like SGA or even like a Luka. they do, but it's they still kind of gravitate towards those older guys. And hopefully LeBron's about done, but who knows? He might keep trekking on like Tom Brady did.
I would think he's got to be within the next 3 years, but he's unlike any 40-some-year-old I've ever seen. So
right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. But, yeah, it's interesting because I'm with you guys. I would like to like it, but I just can't even stand to watch it on TV at all. I just can't.
Yeah.
I read box scores of Purdue guys and a couple players I like Jokic, and that's about it.
Yeah, so, I'm right there with you. Nope.
All right, you guys want to get educated today?
Do it.
Let's learn about some sport events that have happened on February 3rd. On this day in 1876, Albert Spaulding invested $800 to start a sporting goods company manufacturing the first official baseball, tennis ball, basketball, golf ball, and football.
What's your favorite basketball? Spaulding? Webby? Wilson?
Wilson.
Mm. I always
like what we used in high school. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the one Wisconsin uses that's different than everyone else?
Under Armour.
It's right? No, but it's a Wilson Evo.
Oh. Mm.
Pretty sure. I've used it. It's a distinct ball.
It looks different when they're playing. It's weird. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever have it was a Spaulding ball, I believe. I had one growing up. Gosh, I don't remember the official name of it. I remember Paul Pierce was the promoter of it, and it had a pump in the ball.
Yes, I was just about to say.
I had one of those. It worked. Okay.
Kind of push it down and it popped up, right? And then you could pop it.
Up, then you spun it and locked it back down. Yeah. Never flat? Was that what they're called?
That was a bunch of malarkey.
Like my favorite basketball is the Wilson Evolution. That's what we used in playing growing up.
Those are pretty soft. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would say that was a good investment for their Albert in 1876.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Cricket. I won't test your cricket knowledge tonight, J-Man.
I was ready too.
On this day, 1942, baseball owners agreed to permit each club up to 14 night games the upcoming season.
Probably brought out those lights we used to bring out to play flag football in your backyard.
Little construction lights. Here's one for you, Webby. On this day, 1967, Jimi Hendrix added vocals and overdubs for Purple Haze at Olympic Studios in London. Basic track had been recorded by the band in January.
Hmm. Nice. Yeah. It's crazy what they were able, like, just kind of what people like him and the Beatles, the stuff that they did back then was so revolutionary. Now it's just run of the mill for recording music nowadays.
You're right. On this day, 1976, the 26th NBA All-Star game was held at the Spectrum in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The East beat the West 123-109. Any ideas who won the MVP?
76?
What year is it?
76.
Clyde Frazier.
Good guess, but no.
I don't even have a guess.
I've never heard of this guy. Dave Bing.
Oh.
Washington Bullets point guard.
Yeah. Dave Bing? You've never heard of Dave Bing?
No, I haven't.
I'm not even BSing. I know that guy.
Are you going to use Bing.com to look up his stats?
He's a Hall of Famer. 20 points a game, 6 assists, out of Syracuse.
You use Bing.com to get that?
My favorite website is reference.com, all the sports ones.
I couldn't name you too many Washington Bullets. Not Wizards or Washington Bullet players. I couldn't.
No.
Could you name many Washington Wizards? Because they're 7-41.
No. They're just, you know what?
Fools about all I got.
I think when my dad was on last year as a guest, we were talking about just the worst franchise in sports, and the Wizards were, I think, both of our picks. Just a franchise you never even think about at all. Yeah.
They had a decent run with Gilbert Arenas and those guys, and even John Wall and Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
I don't see them ever being good.
No. On this day, 1980, the 30th NBA All-Star game was held at Capitol Center in Landover, Maryland. The East beat the West 144-136 in overtime. Who was the MVP? I think you've both heard of this guy.
Dr. J.
Good guess, but no.
What year is this? 1980. Kareem in the league at that point. I'm saying, I'm going to go with Kareem.
Good guess, but no. The Iceman, George Gervin of the San Antonio Spurs.
Wasn't he a Pacer at one time, too?
He was. All right, let's see here. A lot of people getting in trouble on this day for different things, including March. No, Daryl Strawberry, Marge Scott.
Marge, yeah. The former Reds owner. Yeah. Was pretty,
got to spend 1 year due to racist comments on this day in 1993. Wow, I can't believe it's been this long. On this day, 1998, New York Yankees replaced general manager Bob Watson with Brian Cashman. He's still the GM to this day. Shouldn't be, but he is.
Yeah, if they miss the playoffs, I think they got a clean house there.
All right, next four and the last four are Super Bowls. On this day in 2002, who won the Super Bowl?
Patriots.
Patriots beat the Rams 20-17, Tom Brady MVP. On this day in 2008, who won the Super Bowl?
It was Giants.
Giants beat the Patriots 17-14, Eli Manning was MVP. On this day in 2013, who won the Super Bowl?
Seahawks.
Nope.
Patriots.
No.
2013. Baltimore Ravens.
Ravens beat the San Francisco 49ers 34-31. Yeah. Joe Flacco was MVP of the Blackout Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And on this day in 2019, who won the Super Bowl?
Eagles.
No.
Patriots.
Yes, Patriots beat the Rams 13-3. Julian Edelman was MVP.
That was a brutal
That Super was Bowl so block. Boring.
Yeah.
So boring. And that's going to do it for the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by, like it will be every week in 2025, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them on Instagram and on Facebook at Mooney Woodcrafts is their handle on there. And if you let them know the Tana J Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. Makes a great gift for any occasion for anybody in your life. So tell Thad the Tana J Man Show sent you 15% off your first sign order. Before we get to Big Ten Hoops talk, we were talking a lot about Super Bowls. Let's hear your guys' predictions.
This will be the J Man's book of prediction of the week.
That might be.
I have never looked forward to a Super Bowl less, honestly. Like, usually I'm like, all right, Super Bowl, fun, awesome. Rematch of 2 years ago. Two of my least favorite teams in the NFL, Philadelphia Eagles and Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Chiefs get it done, though. I think they win their third. They become the first team ever to win three straight and have arguably the greatest dynasty ever in the NFL, that is. Unfortunately, I think it'll be something like 24-21. I think we're in for a close game. It's disgusting. I just, again, always look forward to the Super Bowl, regardless of who's in it until this year. But J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4569.
Webby, you think the Chiefs get it done, become the first team to three-peat?
I think they do. It's similar to Jamie and my prediction, like 27-24. I think it's going to be a close one, but I think the Chiefs are just too good at this time of year. You know, as much as we look like crap throughout the year and just kind of got lucky, I think they just know when to turn it on and dominate, and it's going.
Yeah,
it is very annoying, but I agree with you both until somebody beats them. I think they're gonna get it done. I'll go 30-20, a little more, but still it's close. And then they pull away midway through the fourth. Yeah. Hopefully we get some good commercials this year, but the last few years have been awful, so I'm not really getting my hopes up. You guys making any Webby? I know you'll be on the road, anybody eating any good grub on Super Bowl Sunday?
I was just about to ask you guys what your favorite, like, Super Bowl-ish party food.
Oh, wings. Gotta go wings.
I was thinking wings as well.
Last few years, we've done the thing where we just go to Trader Joe's and just get all their appetizer foods that they've got. Yeah. And
we've done that before, too.
Good call.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done that before too. I like to make like a nacho dip. Like yep. It's just like Velveeta cheese, you know, ground Italian sausage, Rotel with some tortilla chips. It's kind of my go-to. Or I love the bacon wrapped smokies with like the brown sugar and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff too.
I even like pizza, but it's hard to get pizza. You have to order hours really? Ahead almost. Yeah. I mean,
I remember in college trying to order pizza at the dorm, and you had to order at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yep. I remember freshman year, me and some guys ordered some Papa John's, and we waited 3 hours, and it never came. I wasn't the one to pay for it, so I wasn't too upset. But one of my friends called and complained pretty good.
Yeah.
Complained pretty good. Thad Mooney on Facebook, Super Bowl MVP, the Zebras.
Yeah,
the referees. Yeah, you're probably right.
Goodell did his press conference, Super Bowl press conference today, and they asked him, or somebody asked him, if the public perception is right that the Chiefs get more calls or something like that, and he just kind of laughed at it and said, "No."
What else is he gonna do?
Yeah, he's gonna say, "Yeah, we want Taylor Swift in there."
Yeah. Best for business.
Best for business.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, we'll see. We'll have the recap next Monday. Somebody will be Super Bowl champ. Yay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk some Big Ten hoops. It's been an interesting month. January was an interesting month overall for the Big Ten. Now we're in February and some team schedules really start to ramp up. Some kind of ease up a little bit. You got the West Coast team still traveling all over the place. And I think it's really starting to affect Oregon big time. I don't know. I can't figure them out. But, J-Man, how are you feeling about your Illini yesterday? Good win over the Buckeyes at home after trailing by as many as 10 at one point in the second half.
Yeah, it was a good win. It felt like a must have it as far as the psyche goes anyway for me. Mm-hmm. They've been in a rough stretch of basketball. They've kind of hit that wall a little bit that I thought they'd hit eventually. I thought it'd be earlier than, you know, mid-January. But they've dealt with some injury issues, which a lot of teams have. But, I mean, you miss your point guard for 2 games, and then you miss your 7-foot-1 big guy for 2 weeks, and it's just been kind of – they haven't been healthy, and it's kind of caught up with them a little bit. Bad loss Thursday night at Nebraska, where they were just shooting brick after brick after brick, and somehow were able to force overtime and then didn't have enough to do it in OT. But then yesterday, I was at the game, and it was my first time going to a game in Champaign since 2013. So I was really looking forward to it. And then Ohio State punched them in the mouth really the entire first half. And then starting into the second half, we were down 11. It felt like a funeral in there. I was just arms crossed the whole time. Even when they were coming back, I was still kind of a little ticked off.
Well, you're probably thinking in your head, like, oh, my gosh, if we lose, we're 500. It's like, what's going on?
And now you have to go on the road for 2 games, and then you get UCLA, Michigan State, Wisconsin. Like, it's the gauntlet. but they did get their big guy back, Tommy Uvesic, who looked real rusty in the first half, had 3 turnovers. They had a stretch where they didn't score a single point in 6 minutes, which is maybe the longest stretch of the Underwood tenure. And during that stretch, Uvesic missed 5 shots. So he looked a little rusty.
And then the longest stretch of the Underwood tenure be against UConn in the NCAA tournament or no?
I'm pretty sure they scored a point. 35-0 run. I don't know. Maybe they didn't. That probably was it. I put that so far out of my memory.
I'm sorry. Thanks, Tan. I'm sorry. We can all vent about UConn here.
Be miserable together with UConn. Uvesic is back, and second half, you know, against Nebraska, they shot 43s. They've been doing that a bunch since the V6's been out. And then with them back, it was trending that way in the first half. They shot, I think it was 3 of 15 from 3 in the first half. Second half, they made a conscious effort to get to the rim. And a lot of that has to do with V6's ability to pass the ball. Even from, you know, up at 3-point line, he had a couple of very nice passes on back cuts to Will Riley and KJ. And it just opens up their offense so much having him back. I mean, you got a 7-1 guy that can shoot the 3-ball, helps open lanes too. And they only shot 5 threes in the second half, and they were 17 of 22 from 2. So that'll play. Merez Johnson's a beast on the offensive glass. He had 7 offensive boards yesterday, 4 dunks. And if we can look at one play that maybe turned the season a little bit around, I wouldn't say it was – I mean, it was trending in a bad direction just because they'd lost 4-6, but I think the ceiling's so high that it wasn't that big of a deal. But it's DGL having a little tip in there to cut it to 3 and then a steal in a massive – I don't know if you guys saw the dunk, massive.
I saw it. Yeah, it was pretty good.
One-handed dunk where, I mean, he's 6'1" and took off from the Big Ten logo and threw it down. And
yeah,
they said the decibel level hit higher than it hit in 4 years in State Farm Center.
Wow.
So that might be the spark that the team needed. And they played really well in the second half, scored 51 points. And hopefully they can keep it going. They have two must wins this week. I mean, they have at Rutgers. Don't know if Harper's going to go. I would bet he does just because Illinois is playing there, and that's just my luck to have there. I don't know if he – what would you consider him better than Ace Bailey? Ace Bailey's awesome.
I'm going to say no.
Awesome. I mean, Harper hasn't – I mean, he hasn't played in, like, 2 months, like, up to his potential. He was so freaking good in, like, November and December. I think he can get to the rim better than Ace, but Ace is, like – I mean – a Kevin Durant type guy, 6'3", can handle the ball so well. So, I mean, they're both number two and number three pick, you know, have already spent it more than likely. So it's, they're both just really, really, really good.
Yeah. And Jersey Mike's has not been kind to Illinois for the most part. They did win there last year. But
kind of too many people.
Yeah, they especially ranked teams hasn't been overly, but that's a game Illinois needs to win. Will Riley's really heating up. He had a bad 6 week stretch, and he carried him in the second half. He actually had 20 points in the second half alone, and it's come at the perfect time because KJ's kind of hit the freshman wall a little bit, and he's been abysmal the past three games or so. But then Illinois has at Minnesota, who, I mean, Minnesota's knocked off Oregon and Michigan, and they've won in Iowa, so. Yeah. They're not a pushover like they had been. So Illinois needs to win these next two because, as I said, they have UCLA coming to town, then Michigan State, and then they go to Wisconsin. So they need to separate themselves from the middle a little bit.
Do you think they're probably too far back to win the Big Ten regular season title now? Yeah.
Five losses is going to be tough. I mean, you have to have Purdue tank, essentially. I don't see them losing more than three games the rest of the year if they lose even that many. I know their schedule gets more difficult. Mm-hmm. But they're a top two team in the conference. Michigan State, I could easily see them catching Michigan State. I haven't bought this Michigan State team all year, and it helps that Illinois plays them too at home with Shannon's jersey going in the rafters that night. So it'll be absolutely rocking on a Saturday night. Their loss, honestly, I viewed their loss to USC as at home as the okay, they're probably not going to win it because, you know, they had already lost to Northwestern. Then they had a loss to Maryland, who's playing probably better than anyone in the conference right now.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah, they're really good. And that's a brutal matchup for Illinois, especially with their 7-1 guy out. They're done. It's mainly just about, you know, solidifying themselves. I think around this time last year, they were on the 5-seed line in most bracketologists, and they shot up to the 3-seed, and it'd be real nice to get off that, you know, have to play a 1-seed in the round of 32. Yeah. I'd rather be a 6 than a 4.
Yeah, that 4-5 matchup is brutal too. So. Or the 4-13. Mm-hmm. All that 5-12. But that's interesting there. So they're raising Shannon and Coburn, both their jerseys this year?
Yeah, Kofi's jersey's already up there, but he wasn't there for the ceremony. It was like game one the year after the year. I think he was in Japan. He's coming back the 11th and they're having a ceremony and then Shannon the very next game. Gotcha.
And they do it like Purdue where you all American and you get it up there.
Yeah.
Right?
If you're a unanimous all American, you get it up there. Like Io's up there.
But it's not a true retiring of the jersey to wear that somebody can't wear his number ever again.
No, okay. It'd be kind of awkward because Merez Johnson's wearing 21. So, they just raise it up there, and they're making a special exception for Shannon because if he didn't have that thing, that sham hanging over him, he would have been a first team All American. I think he ended up being a third team All American. Mm-hmm. So they're making a special exception for him. Gotcha. Kofi was a 2-time first teamer, and so was Io. Io was just 1 time.
Gotcha. Well, and Webby, our Boilermakers got it done in their lone game last week against arch rival Indiana. It wasn't easy. by any means. They survived the game. I'm sure both of our wives, I know mine at least, was not happy with me with the way I acted. But
been there.
We're down 4.5, which I wasn't overly concerned. I wasn't happy, but I wasn't overly concerned because I thought Purdue should have been probably down about 10.5. So be within four, I'm like, okay, in striking distance. And I really wasn't too nervous, even down 6 at one point in the second half, until Indiana had the 1-point lead with 30 seconds to go. Then I thought, oh boy, there's a good chance Purdue's going to lose this game. But thank goodness Trey Kaufman Wren hit a hook shot, which if that ball doesn't go in, IU has 2 or 3 guys around the rim. Purdue had none. So they're getting a rebound. And then Rice ran into a Jakari Harris block and made some free throws, and the game was over. So got escaped and took IU's best punch because IU came out with more juice in the first half than Purdue, but I thought Purdue came out with more juice in the second half. And if you were not a Purdue or Indiana fan, it was a fun basketball game to watch.
Yeah, and I hated every second of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, your messages on the group message, I can tell you weren't having a great time.
I was trying to calm him down in the group message with me and Andrew. Boy,
it was not working. It was not working.
I had to tell him to stop one time because he was bad.
Yeah, I didn't watch a single second of it because, for one, I hate both teams. So I couldn't stop. And I have a real hard time watching any Big Ten basketball the day after Illinois loses. Yeah, so that played a role, too. Fair. The way Webby was talking, I'm like, oh, man, Purdue must be down 12, 15. I look, Purdue's down 3. and then I just kept checking. All right, Purdue's up, 5 or 6 or whatever it was. Game's over. And then I check again. Indiana's up 1 with 30 seconds left. Oh, man.
Yep.
Imagine how they're doing right now.
It wasn't like Purdue didn't play great by any means, but they've played worse this year. I was just frustrated that Indiana was playing actually up to their capabilities, like up to their talent level. That was what made me mad. Like Trey Galloway, who's been awful in my opinion all season, was having a great game. It was the Indiana kids. Goody, Galloway, even little Anthony Leo was making some plays. It was the kids who, I mean, Woodson, started them, or not Goody, but he started the other two. Maybe. Yeah.
He started it.
Yeah, and that you can tell they cared, and then Ibaka played up to his potential for once. So
I went into that game really hoping it would be a repeat of the Michigan game for Purdue. Purdue just came out guns blazing, punch him in the mouth, make him essentially quit. Did not happen at all, and so that's what put me just off the edge immediately. Credit to Indiana. They came out and played one of their best games all year. They had a good game plan. They knocked down shots when they needed to. Ball was a real problem on the glass. Purdue had real trouble rebounding on defense. Braden was making some really dumb passes. He played really well, other than a few dumb passes. Yeah. But
I was going to say, his defense is so good right now.
Yeah, I think honestly what helped IU was Renew getting in foul trouble early, forced them to put in Goody, and that's when they really kind of took off. And then Renew got his third or fourth foul, like almost immediately in the second half, put Goody back in, and they kind of, Purdue got up like 6 or something, and Indiana came right back and took the lead. Trey Kaufman Wren was probably definitely, say the MVP just because it was that big shot. I thought he played really well. I was on the floor enough, which I think if he would have played longer, I think Purdue maybe could have maybe stretched the lead a little bit longer or a little bit more in the second half, but he just got hit with 2 moving screens back to back essentially, and that took him out for a while. Big credit to him for hitting the big shot, and then obviously freshman making a good defensive stop, which there was the argument, was it a foul or not, which I think looking back I thought Rice was trying to pass the ball just because
contact
it's like,
was when he's coming down.
I don't know who he was trying to pass to. Was he trying to pass to Trey Kaufman Wren under the
credit to Purdue for sticking it out. They've been in so many close games, at least Trey, Fletcher, and Braden. So I don't think they were phased at all. I was. But
you always are.
Good thing I'm not playing or coaching, but you take the win and you get the out of there and move on. But after Trey hit that shot, I was just irate that he was even this close.
I felt great when the horn went off. I'm like, I don't even care. Like, I was almost like, I'm kind of glad it ended the way it did because IU fans had their hopes up all games and came crashing down.
And the IU team had their hopes up all game, too. And now it seems like that could be a loss, especially with the way Ballo walked off the floor. He was
shaking anybody's hand.
He was yelling at Rice anyway in the huddle after he turned it over there at the end. That could be the tipping point for them as far as tanking. I thought that earlier in the year when they lost to Iowa by 25, then Illinois beat them by 25, and then they bounce back and win, you know, at Ohio State. So maybe it brings them together, but I would venture to say that they, especially with the epitome of brutality, as our boy John Rothstein said, their schedule the next five is just brutal.
But I think it'll be a good week for both Illinois and Purdue this week. I think they get wins.
I agree. Who's Purdue have this weekend?
This weekend's Friday night, USC at home, which could be a test.
USC's decent. They'll have no problem. Now with Iowa without Owen Freeman.
It's tomorrow night.
Should be.
Peacock again.
Yeah, unless Sanford hits like 19 threes himself, I don't see any change. Birdie bogey time here. There are two cities that have hosted the most Super Bowls with 11. What are those cities?
Do you want me to go first? Since I'm going to go with New Orleans and Atlanta.
You got half of it right.
I had birdie. Okay.
A bogey.
I too were Atlanta and LA.
You're very wrong there. It is New Orleans. Miami is the.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Darn it. I don't. I just don't put Miami and winning football together. So
neither do I. Neither do I. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. Thank you, Webby, for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Tan and J-Man show boiler breakdown crossover episode. Minus my least favorite friend, Andrew. Have a fantastic week, everybody. And Tanner and I will be back next Monday.